Good morning. Thank you for standing by. I'd like to inform all participants that your lines have been placed on listen-only until the question-and-answer session of today's call. Today's call is being recorded. If anyone has any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'd now like to turn the call over to Alex Picavet. Thank you. You may begin.
Good afternoon. My name is Alexandra Picavet. I am a communications manager for the National Park Service, and I'll be serving as your moderator today. This press conference is to announce the release of the approved record of decision for the final environmental impact statement to address the presence of wolves on Isle Royale National Park. Thank you for joining us today. Before we get started, I just want to take a minute to go over how this press conference will be conducted so that we can respond to as many of your questions as time allows. We will start with statements from the Isle Royale National Park Superintendent Phyllis Green and from the Chief of Natural Resources Mark Romanski. After their comments, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. In the interest of fairness to all of you who have called in, each interested party will be given the opportunity to ask an initial question and, if necessary, one follow-up question to that initial question. Not until each person has had that chance will there be an opportunity for you to ask a second question. I ask that you please respect this, and I will do my best to make sure we address as many questions as possible in the time available. We have a hard stop at 1 o'clock. If you feel you need more follow-up, please contact Phyllis Green or myself, and we will respond when possible. That being said, please only state your question and only one question at a time. It's my pleasure to introduce the speakers for today's press conference. We're going to start with Phyllis Green, the superintendent of Isle Royale National Park.
Thank you, Alex, and welcome everyone to this phone call. I hope the audio is fine. And as superintendent of Isle Royale National Park, it has been my pleasure and actually a really interesting and dynamic time since we started the exploration of this subject back in 2015. So in 2015, we began the formal review process of whether or not we should reintroduce wolves at Isle Royale given the declining population. And it's really been a journey of exploration and education through the public engagement process and the discussions that we've had with researchers and review of the science that has gone into this decision process. So today, we're very pleased to announce the actual official record of decision, which means we can move forward with implementation. And the chosen alternative is the one that we had in the final, which is alternative B, which introduces 20 to 30 wolves with a wide genetic diversity to be introduced on the island. The intention is this is the start of year one, and over the next 3 years, we would bring that population up to kind of the long-term average and monitor it. So in the last 30-plus days since we published the final, and it gave everyone a chance for this review process to proceed, I've had letters from kids in California to folks who felt that they just needed to let us know a few other facts about it. We've taken all that into consideration and arrived at this final decision today. Cam Shally has authorized us to move forward. So the next person who will speak is Mark Romanski, my Chief of Natural Resources, and he's going to walk you through some of the implementation steps that we'll be taking between now and fall as we move forward with this decision. And then after that, of course, we'll open it up for any questions that you have. So Mark, do you want to kind of give them a briefing on all that?
Sure. Thank you, Phyllis. Again, my name is Mark Romanski. I am the Division Chief of Natural Resources here at Isle Royale National Park. And I was just going to go over briefly how we plan to implement here in the coming months and years. We have been speaking with potential partners for this reintroduction effort. Those partners include the Department of Natural Resources from Michigan, Minnesota, Wisconsin. We've also been speaking with partners in Canada and also tribal entities as we move forward trying to figure out how we're going to implement reintroduction. So as you know, we'll be capturing wolves on the mainland around the Great Lakes region. We hope to capture from as many wide-ranging geographic areas as possible to maximize the genetic variability of the population that we end up putting into the park. You know, we'll be using leg hold traps as well as cable restraints. We'll also be considering darting from helicopters. We're going to basically keep our toolkit wide open so that we have as much opportunity as possible to implement this plan. We hope to begin, and we will begin implementing today with this call, but we're going to shoot to get this done and get started as soon as possible. Now that we have a final decision, we can start to commit resources to the planning effort. For the wolves that we do end up getting and moving to the park, we will be putting them through a health screening process. That process will include vaccination as well as preventative measures, much like we do for our own pets at home, including, you know, like heartworm preventative measures or, you know, vaccinations for canine distemper or canine parvovirus, those types of things. That they will also get a detailed examination from a certified wildlife veterinarian. And, of course, we'll treat any injuries that occur either before or after the capture process during that time. As far as moving the wolves to Isle Royale, we will be using primarily fixed-wing aircraft and our partner resources, which may include helicopters. We also will move by boat, if feasible, to move wolves out to the island. We will also be employing radio collars. We will use a mix of VHF and GPS collars. This will allow us to collect data not only on a fine scale, but also over a number of years. And that's all I have for now, and I guess we'll take any questions.
Yeah, I think we're ready for questions. That's kind of the short version, and I'm sure some folks that have been tracking this issue with us for many years might have more detailed questions they'd like to explore.
So you can see that we've left quite a lot of time for your questions. We should have no problem getting through all of them. To be fair to everyone in attendance, please stick only to questions, not statements, and only one question at a time. After everyone has had that chance to ask an initial question, we will address as many other questions as possible. Back to you, Martina.
All right. Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please ensure your phone is unmuted and press star 1 and record your name clearly when prompted. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please, to see if there are questions. Our first question comes from Lisa Katsky. You may ask your question.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering what the impact this is going to have on the wolf or the moose population, and if you guys are expecting the moose population numbers on the island to change beginning this year.
Yes, this is Mark again. we expect that, you know, putting a, for example, in year one, if we were to put 6 to 10 wolves out there, we know that they'll start having immediate effect in terms of their predation influences. Right now, the moose population is around 1,500 animals. The population has been climbing in recent years. And, you know, the reason for us moving forward is to put wolves out there to act as predators in that system to help preserve some of our forest resources out on the island. So we fully expect wolves to do what wolves do and hunt moose.
Okay.
Our next question comes from Josephine Marcotti with Star Tribune.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. I'm wondering whether or not you have decided sort of how and where you're going to find the initial group of wolves that you expect to capture. And are you planning on taking packs altogether or individual wolves?
Hi, Josephine. This is Phyllis. Basically, we do have offers from a number of different agencies from Minnesota to Michigan on wolves and areas where they'd like to see some reduction in their wolf numbers. So Mark can talk to you specifically about your question.
Yeah, so we have been in preliminary discussions with representatives from the agencies that Phyllis has mentioned. We will be working with all partners to maximize our opportunities, and that could include, two to three partners at once if we can make that work. And again, we're going to start moving forward on putting pen to paper to work with these partners to make it happen. So it could be possible that we, in any given year, get wolves from multiple locations.
And will you be taking packs?
Yes, sorry, that was the second part of your question. Thanks. We'll be targeting packs as well as individuals.
And of course, doing that is dependent upon you won't catch them all at once. That's not going to happen. So it'll be working with very knowledgeable folks in the area on the pack behavior and trying to, over a series of capture events, put the pack back together again on the island.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Don Flesher, the Associated Press.
Hello. Wondered if you could tell us what your estimated cost of this operation is. I think the EIS mentioned about $2 million over 20 years, but for this more compressed time period, do you have a price tag at this point?
Well, our cost annually, we spend around $70,000 on our monitoring of wolves and moose annually. When you break down that 20-year cost, it's a slight increase for monitoring at around $95,000. The actual introduction event, the estimate that's in the EIS is about $660,000 over a three-year period. And that's probably our best estimate at this point in time, depending on what happens with logistics and how much aircraft is involved. So we would actually hope to expand some of the research opportunities, given the fact that really the focus of this is maintaining ecosystem health on the island, and we want to make sure that we're monitoring the right specific data points to capture really the changes that are happening and use that in the future to educate us and others that are working along these lines on predator-prey relationships.
Right, and you mentioned that there was going to be that you were going to get started as soon as possible. Do you expect to move some wolves out this year, this calendar year?
Yes, yeah, we are gearing up with this commitment today to move forward to try to do our implementation this fall.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Andrew with WULC-TV.
Hi there. I'm wondering if you think this plan will have any impact on the recreational users, the humans, who visit Isle Royale.
Actually, we have had such a wide variety of opinions on coming to Isle Royale, but I think for most of our visitors, the chance to hear wolves howl in the wilderness has been a positive experience for them. We have very good users who have helped us in the sense of letting wolves be wolves and staying away from them on the island. So overall, I feel that it'll be an enhanced experience for those who certainly have wanted to see us do the reintroduction event. Mark, do you have any other perceptions of folks that you've talked with on the island related to that?
No, I agree with you, Phyllis, that people are keenly interested in coming to Isle Royale not only to hear and or see wolves, but also moose. So, of course, adding wolves is going to be a positive impact. We've had a population out there for almost 70 years, and we haven't had any sort of negative interactions in terms of human-wolf interactions.
Yeah.
So we don't expect we'd have more given they have plenty of prey and are able to be a wolf without having to involve themselves in our undertaking.
And actually, when you mentioned, we've had no negative interactions. We've had a few what I would call curiosity events. And during those events, we've educated our public on how to discourage curiosity, and those actually has worked very well.
For sure.
Garrett Neese with Daily Mining Gazette, you may ask your question.
Okay. Well, I'm just wondering, do you think that, you know, this introduction of wolves will be able to create a self-sustaining population on the island? Will further introductions need to be revisited, you know, a few years down the line?
Yeah, we fully expect that the number of wolves we're planning will be a good start with the giving enough genetic variability that through time it will establish a population. If you remember, or maybe you don't know, but the population originally started with a small pack in 1948 and has persisted for quite some time. So we do believe that we'll have enough wolves out there to keep the genetics going over time. And, you know, one quick reminder is that the planning period is for 20 years, and we fully expect for sure in that 20 years that that population will be sustaining.
Right, and we have been in consultation with genetic experts across the country as we went through the planning process for the EIS, and as we move closer to implementation, we'll continue. We'll know the genetics actually better at the start than, of course, we did at the beginning of their own introduction over 65 years ago.
Christine Malott with Science Magazine, you may ask your question.
Hi, are you still looking at wolves from Michipicoten?
I actually, we've been kind of quiet on this whole portion, but I actually received an email from folks in that area in this past week where they were asking me that very question. There's certainly a lot more discussion that's needed. We're open to that just because of the genetic diversity option that it presents to us, but the logistics from one Lake Superior island to another are extremely complicated. We don't expect that complicated operation to be part of this first introduction event, but we are certainly open to it in the future, but a lot more discussions needed. I mean, our primary concern, I just want to be really clear, our primary concern is the health of each and every animal that we put through a capture and release event. So that's what we're going to be looking after first and foremost.
Our next question comes from Nick Lambert with KMSP.
Hello. I'm wondering if you guys have a breakdown on the sex you're trying to target. If you have 30 wolves coming, how many males, how many females are you hoping to transport to the island?
Sure. So the translocation effort has a few goals in mind with regards to that. Ideally, we want a one-to-one sex ratio, but if we're going in and we're trying to capture packs, what we're going for there is social cohesion. And so in that instance, we may not achieve a one-to-one sex ratio, but for sure that's our goal in terms of putting animals out there.
Bert Rapensky with National Parks Traveler, you may ask your question.
Thank you. Rep and check. I hope I don't repeat a question that was asked earlier. I had a little technical difficulties. But I'm wondering, in the comment period, most recently on the final EIS, whether any concerns were raised about the moving away from the Park Service policy of letting natural processes take their place, and whether this would put the Park Service essentially in a place of running an open-air zoo where you have to monitor things and adjust things as things get out of whack.
I think that's a valid concern that has been expressed throughout the planning process, especially from folks who are strong wilderness advocates who, even in the face of human-caused change, want to try to minimize human changes. So it didn't, I'm trying to think, I read all the letters that came in the last 30, 40 days, and I don't believe it came up as that in this final round, but it certainly was there multiple times on our previous interactions with the public. And that's something, you know, when we looked at the different alternatives, we had alternative B, which basically we do this initial reintroduction and make sure that it's having the best take possible based on our parameters. But then we don't go back. We let wolves be wolves for the continuation of the next 20 years or so, and possibly longer if the genetics work the way our science tells us it has the possibility of working. But alternative C looked at, you know, continually adding wolves into the system on a relative frequent basis, and that was not chosen as an alternative simply as part of the balance between the needs of maintaining as much wilderness character as we could while providing an apex predator to help the system as we know it now stay intact and resilient.
Okay. Did you have to get a categorical exclusion to perform this in the officially designated wilderness?
No, actually the environmental impact statement is the highest form of scrutiny by both the public and internally and the department in order to make a decision of this size and scope. So a categorical exclusion is only used like for routine maintenance where you know you've done it before and you have no, your consequences are minimal and needed. In this case, the consequences were trade-offs. And what you could potentially lose in terms of wilderness character, you have other benefits in terms of keeping an ecosystem resilient and functioning as it has been for the last, almost actually the life of the park.
Thank you.
John Hanger with Minnesota Public Radio News, you may ask your question.
Excellent, thanks. I'm just wondering if you guys have a specific number in mind. I know you're hoping to stabilize the populations of both wolves and moose, and I just wonder what those numbers are that you're hoping for.
Sure, that's a great question. So what we're really trying to preserve here is a dynamic between the two, and the number that we decided upon within the EIS process was 20 to 30 because that brackets our long-term average with respect to wolves. And then moose will do what they do in the presence of wolves, and their numbers will swing more, and that is largely dependent upon, you know, severe winters or lack of severe winters, what kind of available forage they have. But the long-term average of moose is around 1,100 to 1,200 animals. That gives the averages.
Yeah, and I think the word stabilize is probably one we need to help educate people on. If they haven't had an opportunity to look at the cycles between the two populations of moose and wolves, they're constantly going up and down, and sometimes in juxtaposition with each other and sometimes following each other. It's a very hard path to predict. So it's really not a matter of stabilization as much as it's a matter of dynamic opportunity for the apex predator and prey role to continue.
Our next question comes from Joe Fredericks, WTIP Community Radio in Grand Marais.
Yes, hello. Can you share the level of discussion or input that band members and wildlife officials from the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, had with this decision to introduce more wolves?
The Grand Portage Band has been in a dialogue with us on this population management for even before we started the formal planning process. And they're, and we have consulted with them and 14 bands of Ojibwe tribes across the southern Lake Superior shoreline throughout the planning process. Grand Portage and Keweenaw Bay Indian Tribe were not in favor of doing a reintroduction. They were actually okay with letting nature move forward without any further change or additions from human actions. However, they are currently supportive of us in the sense of acknowledging how the system is changing and how this will help influence. They are working with us on the project in the future. And I think in part to manage their own, to gain information that will help them in their own management of tribal resources on the mainland. So, and other bands across the region had mixed results. Some folks were very much in favor of us adding wolves to the environment for that apex predator role, and so it was kind of a mix of input from the various tribes. I hope I answered your question.
Yeah, is it possible that some of the wolves would come from tribal lands, Grand Portage, and specifically?
Yes, a band contacted us last week because they have very high moose calf mortality rates going on right now, and that may be part of why they're willing to work with us. And so they may be looking at how they might reduce the population in some of their moose areas. And since we definitely have an interest in wolf pack that know how to take down that very large moose, we're looking forward to further discussions with them.
Okay. Thank you, Phyllis.
Yep.
Our next question comes from Christine Millat, Science Magazine. You may ask your question.
Hi. Wondering what kind of consideration you've given to the remaining two wolves on the island in terms of the spatial logistics of the new wolves arriving, or any other thoughts?
Well, we know that those two, it's never been about genetic rescue as part of this. It's really been about population management. But we do know those two exist out there, and whether or not they integrate with the new wolves that are, will be arriving is, that's a chapter yet to be written. Mark has been kind of, we know generally where those wolves are, and I think he's been taking where they are into consideration. Could you add a little bit more on that, Mark?
Sure, yeah, that's exactly right. You know, when we go to make the initial introduction, we'll keep it away from the what we know as the current known territory and allow that the introduction between the wolves to occur slowly over time and on their own means.
Yeah. And, you know, anything can happen, Christine. I think you're pretty well aware of kind of wolf behavior. Certainly, they may integrate with the new wolves, especially because we don't see this. We were told by some of the people who actually do capturing events that, you know, getting one wolf a week is actually about about an average for capturing these wily animals, if you will. So there's not going to be a sudden influx of multiple animals. It's probably going to be animals over time, and they will be sorting out territory and their own dynamics once they're there.
Okay, but did I hear Mark say that you will deliberately try to keep away from the existing the territory of the existing two?
That's correct.
Okay.
At this time, there are no further questions in the queue. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name clearly when prompted. One moment for the next question. I do have a caller that just queued up for a question. The name didn't get recorded. I'm going to go ahead and place you into the conference. One moment. Go ahead and please speak.
Hi, that might have been me, John Flesh, here with the Associated Press.
Yes, thank you.
Phyllis, I just wanted to follow up on something you said earlier, be sure I understood it correctly. That is, if the operation that takes place over the next 3 to 5 years is unsuccessful for any reason, if a lot of the wolves don't survive or whatever, Is that it? Will there not be further efforts to continue to bring more out over the long haul?
Under Alternative B, the intent is to have a successful start in the next 3 to 5 years. Should that fail, I think we're going to really have to take a hard look at why and understand exactly the sequence of events that caused that failure. So at this point in time, we are not committing to any further action after that point in time.
Thank you.
But we have every reason to believe that this will be successful based on how wolves introduce themselves. I mean, not only our moose population may be at an average kind of numbers for the park, but our beaver population, which most of these wolves know how to hunt, is very high right now. So there's other sources of good protein and food for these wolves that we do the reintroduction event on.
Our next question comes from Christine Malott, Science Magazine. You may ask your question.
Hi, I just sort of want to get a picture of how this will be unfolding. And do you have a date in mind for this fall? Is it going to be after the visitor season ends? And so you're basically going to be, you know, locating wolves in the region and then bringing them in and letting them go, locating other wolves, bringing them in, letting them go, sort of, as you said, potentially one a week or several a week? Is that roughly how you see it?
I'll let Mark handle that part. From the visitor side, basically we start to have a very reduced visitation in the end of September and through, even though we're normally open till the end of October. We probably will end up implementing area closures at the park in order not to have more stress on the animals after all the handling that we're going to go through. So we have yet to determine a lot of that part of it, but people management is certainly part of the project implementation planning to kind of keep that separation for a while and let things find a new normal. Actually, on how it will occur, I'm going to turn that over to Mark because that's his planning details.
Yeah, so Christine, your question was, you know, trickling wolves in over a multi-week period. The realities of wolf trapping are that, you know, it'll take some time to get the number of wolves we're targeting for this year. And so that's why we're trying to implement this over a multi-week period and towards the end of our visitor season, because that kind of feeds into how things slow down for the island. I think I addressed it, but
okay.
If you need more, let me know.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah.
At this time, there are no further questions in the queue.
All right. Well, most of you have my phone number, and I appreciate actually the attention and detail that many of the reporters who have followed this for multiple years. I think you all have given a depth to the reporting that's been extremely helpful in trying to get this complex decision across to the public over time. And so we appreciate your continued interest and engagement in the in this process. You have my phone number. It's on the press release. I just want to remind you that we did post some still photos for the print media relative to, you know, trapping wolves and a few just island background photos. Both myself and Mark are available later this afternoon. If you call our number, I might be able to set up. I do have some other obligations, but we would set up any further needed conversations. So thank you all for your attendance, and I will turn this back to Alex and Martina to close out however they feel is appropriate. And please give us some feedback on how well this worked for you. It's a new format. We just wanted to kind of get things out there all at once, and I hope it worked reasonably well for you. So we'd be happy to hear from you relative to how you thought it went.
So thank you for your time and your attention. This concludes the press conference. A recording of this press conference will be available on the Pepsi website. That was on the news release and on the media advisory later today. It'll take a few hours before we can get it and then post it. If you have further questions, as Phyllis said, contact her, or if you need me to resend any of the materials we sent out earlier today, you can email me. Thank you again. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you for participating in today's conference. Participants may disconnect at this time.